It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
I have some good news and some bad news, the psychologist told the patient. The good news is you have a healthy self-image. The bad news is that it's not based on reality. As we conclude this series on the book that James wrote, here's a question. What's the self-image of your church, your Jesus community? I wonder how many local churches deserve the same diagnosis as that psychologist gave. They have a healthy self-image, not based on reality. One symptom supporting this diagnosis is a church having no concern when people leave. Of course, some people leave for good reasons. Perhaps they're moving to a different city and will become part of another church there. But there are lots of people who just walk away. Why do they leave? What does that mean for their life for Christ? Is no one concerned enough to meet with these people and attempt to restore them to Christ, if that's the issue, and then to restore them to the community of his people? In the letter that James wrote, he concludes with a teaching directed to this kind of situation. Here's what James says. In the last words of his book, James writes in chapter 5, verses 19 to 20, "My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him or her back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." This must have been a problem for the people to whom James was writing. Did they not think it was important to bring someone back? We're not really told, but there are three things you can learn from these words. First, what is the issue? Well, it's people wandering from the truth. Just like those people in Elijah's day who wandered from worshiping the Lord, Yahweh, to worshiping false gods, Baal. Second, who is addressed? This is a call to all my brothers and sisters. All are participants in this Jesus community. This is not a call limited to leaders or staff members of that church. Third, what action is needed? In James's words, it is to bring back a sinner from his or her wandering. Now, recall the previous podcast. James has just been using the Old Testament prophet Elijah as an object lesson. One righteous person tasked with bringing the heart of a wandering nation back to the one true God. The lesson we dealt with last week was about prayer. Is James telling us that we not only have to pray, but we also have to do something? Yes, we can pray, and the prayer of a righteous person is effective, but we can't say, "Well, I've prayed for them, there's nothing else I'm going to do." Elijah not only prayed for the people, he acted in a way that challenged them, convicted them, and caused them to return to the Lord. To me, this brought to mind Elijah's confrontation between the children of Israel at Mount Carmel. We read about this incident in 1 Kings 18. In that situation, virtually the whole nation of Israel had wandered from the truth. They were worshiping false gods and living the lives that flowed from such false worship. What's at the heart of this matter? Elijah confronts the wandering people with the real issue in 1 Kings 18, verses 19 to 21. There we read, "Elijah came near to all the people and said, 'How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If Yahweh is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.' And the people did not answer him a word." Elijah then challenged those who defied God. His challenge drew the battle lines between the one true God, Yahweh, and the followers of Baal in 1 Kings 18, verses 22 to 24. "Then Elijah said to the people, 'I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us. Let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood. But put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord.' And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered, it is well spoken. Odds of 450-1. He gave them first pick. He gave them first action. And the prophets of Baal had used every opportunity to demonstrate the presence and the power of their God, Baal. And there was no answer. Now it was Elijah's turn. After Elijah had made all the preparations, he prayed, answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. 1 Kings 18, verse 37. Here's what happened. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, Yahweh, he is God. Confession was made, and a nation was turned back, saved. So what, you might say? What can we learn from this to inform and empower our lives? What can we draw from Elijah in this scene at Mount Carmel that will equip us to bless our Jesus community here and now? First, Elijah was faithful. He was faithful to the Lord, the one true God who has revealed himself as Jesus Christ, living righteously and praying effectively. In this regard, it is healthy for us to do a regular diagnostic check of our own hearts and actions toward the Lord. Elijah was faithful. Second, Elijah cared. He cared for the honor of his God and the condition of his people. If the question is asked, am I my brother's keeper? James's answer would be a resounding yes. Elijah was faithful. Elijah cared. And third, Elijah risked. He risked all in his willingness to stretch beyond his experience of the absolute faithfulness and integrity of the Lord. In doing so, Elijah put his own life on the line by calling God's people to turn their hearts back to God. Elijah risked. And fourthly, Elijah loved and accepted those who confessed their sin to God. Immediately after their confession, Elijah called these people of God to live as the people of God without recrimination, without probation, without doubting. After all, he himself had a nature just like ours, and no doubt he had experienced the love and acceptance and forgiveness of the Lord himself. So the questions for each of us are, number one, are we faithful toward God? Number two, does that faithfulness toward God energize you to care enough about the condition of his people? Third, are you willing to trust God and put your life on the line for others? And fourth, when another person turns his or her heart back to the Lord, are you ready and willing to love that person, embrace that person, and say, you are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ? As one commentator puts it, with this note of grace and forgiveness, James ends his work. I hope this series on the book that James wrote has provided you with helpful insights for living toward wholeness.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at hopestreamradio.com.